We're back with All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz, and the big story this week, President Obama accepts the Nobel Peace Prize.
Adhering to this law of love has always been the core struggle of human nature, for we are fallible. We make mistakes and fall victim to the temptations of pride and power and sometimes evil. Even those of us with the best of intentions will at times fail to right the wrongs before us.
Joining us to talk about this and other national stories in the news this week is James Fallows, national correspondent for The Atlantic and our news analyst. Hi, Jim.
Greetings, Guy.
Jim, you wrote on your blog this week that the president's speech was an extension of his inaugural address in the speech he gave during the campaign last year on race relations.
I think there's an amazing coherence among all the public statements Barack Obama has given in his time in the public sphere, perhaps excluding his most famous speech at the Democratic Convention in 2004, because all of them have essentially, number one, they've been better to read on paper after he delivered them and actually to listen to because of the complexity of their arguments. And number two, they've argued something in a way surprising for somebody as transformational and inspirational as Barack Obama presented himself, which is a slow, incremental, long run, one step at a time, sort of incrementalist view of human morality. And I think that's also what he was doing with the Nobel Peace Prize.
Was he able to do what he set out to do, which was to sort of address some of these issues of being a so-called wartime president and also a Peace Prize recipient?
I think he did. And what was striking and similar to his famous Philadelphia race address in March of 2008 is that instead of talking around the most awkward issue, he embraced it from the start, saying there's controversy not simply about my receiving this, but also about the circumstances of my presiding over these two wars, and saying this epitomized the contradictions that he wanted to embrace, why war was sometimes a necessary step towards peace, but was not a sufficient step, that other things had to be done too.
Jim, this week, five young men from Northern Virginia, Americans, were arrested in Pakistan for alleged terror links. Now, experts have long argued that it's harder to radicalize Muslims in the U.S. because they are better assimilated. But now some of those assumptions are being questioned.
Well, certainly any judgment on these questions is provisional, and we see what happens month by month. But I think the balance of evidence is still where it was in the first few years after the 9/11 attacks, when there were subsequent bombings in Spain, of course, and in London, and tensions throughout Western Europe. And the analysis inside the U.S. was that something about the American Muslim community and the American Arab community, some of whom are Muslim and some not, made it more assimilated and patriotic, if you will. And so you see that even now, where some of the parents of these five men were the ones who turned them into the FBI. Mm. So far the evidence seems to suggest there is more resilience and assimilation in the U.S. community, but we'll see.
And I mean, I guess the question is it even a fair question to ask at all? I mean, you could presumably say this about many other communities in the country.
Of course. And I think it's a matter of scale, too, that if it is overwhelmingly the case the American Muslim community is assimilated, loyal, patriotic, et cetera, as all evidence suggests, number one, that it is, and number two, is more so the case than in Western Europe or other developed societies with many, many millions of people, even a small number can create this kind of news headline. But the main verdict seems to still to be borne out.
Finally, Jim, the House this week voted to overhaul our financial regulatory system, and the Treasury Department capped executive pay for companies that receive bailout money. Is that enough, or is it too little too late?
I think of this the same way I do as the health reform struggle. It's notable that the House's bill on financial reform got zero Republican votes yesterday, and it's questionable whether it can get 60 votes necessary in the Senate. And so it may be as ambitious as it can be to pass, and yet there are all sorts of things that it can't do. And so in the spirit of President Obama's incrementalist reform speech for the Nobel Prize, this may be an incrementalist step towards having some financial control, some consumer protections, and some controls to try to avoid another Lehman Brothers-type meltdown.
But just incremental.
I think that may be the best that is possible in our flawed world.
That's James Fallows. He's the national correspondent for The Atlantic and our weekend news analyst here on All Things Considered. Check out his blog. That's jamesfallows.theatlantic.com. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.